You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Chicago-born singer-songwriter Dan Somaglio dabbled in music most of his life and never had the opportunity to pursue it professionally until recently. After moving away and while living in Oregon and Vermont, he began to write and accumulate bits and pieces of songs. When he returned to Chicago, he found some time on his hand and decided it was the right time to pursue his debut CD, Let the Light Shine. Dan is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles as we talk about his musical journey and the release of his debut CD. Hello, Dan. Welcome to the podcast.
How are you doing?
I am great. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good.
Good.
Doing very good.
Good. We are, the moment we are talking, it is almost mid-February. We were chatting about the weather for a moment or two, and you are in Chicago. Is that right?
I am.
Yeah. So you guys are feeling the weather as well as we are here in Virginia, so it is definitely winter time.
It is. Yeah, we're hunkering down now because we know better than to go out when it gets this cold.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So has Chicago been home for you from the beginning?
Yes. Yeah, I was born in Chicago, lived here for most of my life, in fact, up until around 96, and then my wife and I moved to Oregon for about 8 years, and then after that we moved to Vermont for about 14 years.
Okay.
And then we moved back to Chicago recently, about 3 years ago.
Okay. What pulled you out of the Chicago area and out into Oregon and Vermont?
My wife, she took a job in Oregon. And I was currently, I was doing construction work, carpentry work, along with my music. So I can kind of go wherever to do
mm-hmm.
that.
Okay.
And the same kind of story was in Vermont. But all along this time, I was, playing. I played years before we moved from Chicago.
Okay.
And, I was doing a lot of playing then. I kind of got sidelined a bit when I was, doing my work, and all along that time I was writing.
When did music start for you as something you pursued?
It's a good question. For me, it started probably around 7th, 8th grade in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got roped in as a bass player.
Yeah, cool.
In my early band, I have a nice little story about that. I was playing in this band, we're 7th and 8th grade. And we have to play at kind of a battle of the bands.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a bass or a bass amp. I'm using somebody else's equipment. So, I tell my father, I don't have, we're going to have this battle of bands, and I don't have an amp and I don't have a bass, So I came home one day from school, and there was these boxes sitting on my front porch.
Oh.
One big box, on the right, another box left, and he went out and bought me, a Fender bass move.
Oh, wow.
I'm not kidding you.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Yeah.
That's cool.
And a Fender bass, and I'm like, I'm practically in tears because...
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right? You get that... Right, you get that kind of support, and it's like, wow. And my dad would never, he never said anything too much to me about the music stuff, but that was kind of an impetus to, keep on doing what I was doing, so.
Right, what a way to put on a Superman cape.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's cool. So did that continue then, pursuing music into your post-high school years?
Yeah, I played in bands in high school, and then after that, I played in various, bands while I was in Chicago. Mostly, they were, bar bands,
mm-hmm.
Some original song type stuff, I had a band called Eddie Mascleres for a while, which is kind of in the 80s. We recorded a single here in Chicago, and a single release called People People.
Mm-hmm.
And we started to get some traction for opening up for, you know, national acts here in Chicago.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, there was a point in time where the rubber kind of met the road, where we had to make a decision how we're going to keep this going. And people's lives started changing, and mm-hmm. I think you've heard the story before.
Yeah. Classic, you know? Narrative, right? Yeah.
Classic. Very classic, yeah. And so after that, you know, I was kind of, after that band kind of split up, I was kind of on my own for a while. And that's why, you know, I really kind of started to write more.
Okay.
Definitely.
And so that was where at in your life career path, age-wise?
That'd be, mid to late 30s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Definitely I reached a point where I had to make a step as to where I'm going to be going,
yeah,
and what I want to do. And that's when I started doing some writing. I hadn't sort of really gotten into it. I was just sort of experimenting with it. And I wasn't really sure what course it was going to take. I just kind of let it do itself for a while.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved to Oregon, I played with the group for a while. They were doing, you know, mostly cover stuff, and I just kind of did that to keep my chops, you know,
mm-hmm.
relatively going. And at the same time, I was still putting little pieces in into my cassette player, which I got to admit, you know, I have a lot of cassettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and it's like, it really proved very fruitful use that.
Yeah.
It worked for me. It worked for me. Yeah.
So at what point did you decide to sit down with your box of cassettes and go, okay, let's see what I have here, and then realize that maybe they were more than bits and pieces and that you could possibly put these together as full songs and do something with it?
That's a very good question. I was from a friend of mine, sort of texted me. We were talking back and forth. And he asked me if I had kept in touch with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, kind of off and on. And then he sent me a text message to this friend of mine that I knew back in Chicago, Dominic Bucci. And Dominic, when I actually visited Chicago, that's about around the same period of time. And we kind of hooked up at that point in time. And he gave me some music CDs that he had produced and worked on and stuff like that. And I listened to him and I was impressed. And when I came back to Chicago, moved back, he was the first person I called.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, I have these bits and pieces. I do have some, some songs. I want to sit down and run them by you. And we started, going through them. And he's like, I think you have, I think you got to buy an album here for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, that's basically how it got started.
Yeah, okay. And so this is not too long ago then that happened for you. And that has led to, I presume, to be your debut CD then, Let the Light Shine?
You are correct.
Yeah?
You are absolutely, yeah, you are correct. Yeah. And that was, we had to sort of walk through everything first and see where we were going to land. And I didn't want to have a full band on it. It's something I decided early on. I just didn't want too much drama at that point.
Right, yeah.
It was enough. Yeah, it was enough writing what I had. And I'm like, I can only deal with so much right now,
Right, yeah.
And, I was totally on that less is more thing,
Mm-hmm, sure.
And Dominic agreed. He said, I really think that's the right way to go. So we decided that's how we're going to go down that road. So that's how it ended up that way.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
What was that process like for you, having spent your whole life in and around music to some degree, and then actually later stages of your music pursuit end up actually being able to write your own music and produce your own debut solo CD?
Yeah, you know, I had to sit down and sort of say to myself, you know, I need to embrace this because I'm turning a page in my life and it's a journey,
mm-hmm.
You know, that I wish to pursue. And I felt that, you know, I'm just gonna pull myself into this.
Yeah,
it wasn't easy. I mean, it wasn't easy because I had to sort of relearn some stuff that I've been away from for a while, mainly recording wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that Dominic was there because, you know, he was a taskmaster. So yeah, he was. I mean, that's good. I needed that. Because when you're away from it, it really, you know, it can really be a task to get stuff done.
Yeah. So is this out now, or has it not come out yet?
Yeah, it's out now.
Okay.
So, everything is up and running. I'm a little, you know, I released it through CD Baby, and they did a great job on the CD packet. The distribution is a little tough because they sort of just throw it out there. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Sure. Yeah,
and I'm still cleaning up some edges here on, you know, Spotify and other platforms. But I think as time goes on, I'll be able to corral it all, and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But Bandcamp is good. I'm on Bandcamp. You know, if you go there on Friday, I have to, you know, I get the proceeds. They cut their percentage on Fridays.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, it's very nice for artists.
Sure.
Yeah, they get the full shot there.
Yeah. Well, you did a nice job with it. I listening to a couple of the tracks, I had almost this sense of Roy Orbison kind of feel to it.
That's interesting.
I liked the maybe it was the kind of the '60s vibe. I don't know. It just kind of had that sense about it. Have you gotten much feedback?
I have, in terms of people who I know have, you know, called me and talked to me about it, and I think because it's sort of old school in its approach, it's not just one blank sound,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, one total sound throughout. We decided early on, you know, we're going to have some ballads, we're going to have some acoustic numbers, we're going to have some, you know, folk songs, a couple of country songs that,
yeah.
you know. And that's pretty much how it was written too. I mean, I let the genre kind of speak for itself, but, you know, I really feel that I write according to how it's in my, you know, it's in my heart, and I just kind of let it, you know, pour out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's really, I mean, that's really kind of how it went down too. I mean, in the studio. We wanted to kind of be unvarnished in a way,
yeah.
as much as we could.
Yeah. What would be your dream approach if the pandemic's not in the way? Hopefully, we'll get that out of here soon. How do you envision being able to get it out to the fan base and get people a chance to hear you play it live? What does that look like for you?
You know, I don't know. That's a tough question, you know, because of the pandemic. You know, I think in terms of the plan, it's going to be what venues are going to open up, and I do have a couple other people in line for playing with me. But I think it's going to be a kind of a hard road in terms of who's going to open up, when they're going to open up, how they're going to open up.
Right. Yeah.
I think all of it, no matter what city or town you're in, it's just going to be different for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now I put a lot of CDs out in the mail. I'm doing this at the DIY, the do-it-yourself fair right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there's advantages to that, you know, especially now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And I, you know, I honestly treasure the personal interaction with people. I really prefer that, because I think so much is driven by, you know, view counts and advertising and influence and all that. It's okay. It works for a lot of people, but there are a lot of people who get lost in the shuffle. And,
sure. Yeah.
You know, I prefer that kind of old school sitting down and have a conversation with somebody.
Right. Well, you never know.
In terms of
Go ahead.
In terms of the plane, I think as things open up, that's how I'll be approaching it. Around probably local at first, and then see how it'll be a touch and go kind of situation, I think, before things start to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping midsummer, late fall, entertainment will get to happen again in some kind of normal way. I know that there are many folks like yourself that are itching to get out and do their thing again. And there's many, many, many more fans that are ready for you guys to do that. So we're certainly hoping that that's going to happen. And you never know. You were mentioning the one-on-one approach. You never know which one is going to be the one that opens a door to a whole new audience that you didn't realize you could you could work with. So,
that's a very true statement. And I think as a as a performer or a songwriter, whoever, you have to be ready for that, prepared for that. And I think that, I'll just say it is kind of a late stage in my career. I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable with that. I feel perfectly fine with it, because I'm doing what, I'm doing what I do. I just try to keep it simple. And I have other songs written already for another release. So.
I was going to ask you if you were going to do it again, so that answers that question.
I would prefer to have some heavier lifting, on certain parts of releasing and all that kind of stuff, if that happens, it'd be great. I'll be talking to people down the road here. If that happens, that would be the way I'd like to go.
Are you still pursuing a daytime job scenario, or have you retired from that?
I'm done with that.
You've got a lot of time to dedicate to this as soon as the opportunity affords itself, then.
I do. That's something that I'm looking forward to, because like I said, I don't think anybody knows at this point in time how it's really going to develop. It's going to be, I think, an experiment until we're out of the woods.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the debut album is Let the Light Shine, and you mentioned CD Baby. What other avenues can people find your music? Bandcamp and what else?
They can go to Bandcamp, Spotify, Tidal, Deezer, and Apple. They're on the platforms. I'm just and some platforms have performed, fine in terms of getting it up. But I don't know if you had anybody you interviewed who's talked about CD Baby or not. I think they did a fabulous job with the CD. The physical CD was done really well. A few kinks in the distribution on the digital side. Because I didn't know that they're actually kind of separate companies. One company does the physical, one company does the digital distribution.
Sure, yeah.
So that was a learning process for me.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, that's part of the fun of it, right?
Yeah, sure. It's the fun of it. Yeah, definitely.
what's your website, Dan?
DanSimaglio.com.
Good deal. And it's C-I-M-A-G-L-I-O, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right, good. Well, thank you, Dan. It's been great. I appreciate talking
to you.
You're welcome. And certainly wish you the best with your music.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Greg.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.